If you would please turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll read 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I want to talk about an experience I had a few weeks ago at camp. It kind of hit me pretty hard. It was Thursday. One of the camp ends on Friday, and this was Thursday. And second period, I'm sitting in a class, second class of the day, so it's about 9:15, 9:30, right around there. And we're reading from Proverbs, and the previous day I had seen a friend of mine crying, sitting on a wall outside of lunch, and I went over and I talked to him, and he told me, you know, this particular class that I hadn't had yet was going to be really rough for me. And I'm like, okay, sure, you know, couldn't be too hard. So I go to this class, and we're reading Proverbs 5, and he, after reading the proverb, he asks us who went to the New York leadership camp last year. And I raised my hand, and he told me that a close friend of mine, Kyle Reading, had fallen away in the last 4 months. And that kind of hit me, because it was the first time I've seen that or hurt, you know, personally. And to have it happen to a close friend had a lot of emotions going on there. One of the things that we sang a particular song a lot at camp, and it's called We Are One, and unfortunately we don't have it in our book. But it's a great song, and it speaks to the fact that we are one in Christ and that we are one body. And I was kind of thinking of that among other things. You see, Kyle was not only just somebody I had met for a week and only had seen the once, but it was somebody that for months after that camp I spent time talking to. And we had gotten close, and the last time I saw Kyle was I went to New Jersey with Dennis Jalbert for a all-day Bible study. And Kyle and I drove 6 hours to get to this Bible study. And that just kind of speaks to the Christian that I knew Kyle to be. He would do anything. You know, he knew the Word. You had a passage, and oftentimes he'd be able to tell you within a minute where it was from. He was a strong guy, and it wasn't something I had expected from him. It was rough to hear. I was angry that he would do that, that he would turn his back on God, on his brothers and his sister. But at the same time, I was very upset to know that I had lost a brother. And during that day, I was upset for a good part of the day. And so I started thinking later on in the day, of passages, of things that would, you know, that kind of reinforce the need to be vigilant and the need to be careful. This was one of the passages that came to mind, that this isn't just a game, you know, that we go through, and at the end of the game, if you messed up, you get to restart. It's not, you know, Mario, you jump off a cliff, you can hit undo and redo it. But this is an actual war, which is brought up in the first few verses. It's not a physical battle, but it's a spiritual battle. But nonetheless, it's a war, which was another class I had, was about being warriors. This section talks about preparing ourselves in every way possible that we will not fall. And verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Continuing in 19, and for me the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, we're supposed to pray for one another and to help one another out in any way that we can. That was something I had thought of. You know, what if you know, we were able to help each other more in being prepared and being strong. And then during that day, thinking of, you know, that we should pray for one another for boldness and for strength, that we may overcome things, I decided that I really wanted to pray for Kyle. So that night I asked everybody if they wanted to come and pray with me for him. And I was very pleasantly shocked that just about everybody at the camp showed up to pray for him, when I believe it was less than a dozen people actually knew him. And that just really shows the brotherhood that we have. Sorry about that. If you would, please turn to Revelation chapter 21. I read this Sunday, and I've actually read it every day since camp. But for right now, I'd like to focus on verse 22 through the end of the book. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need for the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, "See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God." And he said to me, "Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, has sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming quickly.' Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." I have read this every day since camp. I made a promise to a close friend who had a rough time that day too. The day before he had that class, that we would both read this. We actually read all of 21 and 22, and we do this because thinking after that night, Thursday night around 8 o'clock, we went back. We had talked for a couple hours, and we decided that we needed to look at one of the why we do this, why we fight this fight. And we particularly focus on 22 through verse 5 of the next chapter, more than the first part of 21, because while the description of heaven is great and awesome, and hearing, you know, all these things that, you know, can't be real, but it's just the best that we can picture. Well, that's all great. The real glory of heaven is 22 through 27, and that's where God is, and that's where light is. And anything that defiles or causes an abomination will be separated from God. And I think that the last verse in the Bible, the last two verses in the Bible, is like just the greatest way to end it. And that's why, you know, he who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Like I said, camp was great. Camp was awesome. Camp was scary. It really kind of struck me. I don't know how many here have seen somebody fall away, but that was the first time I had seen it, and it really struck fear into me to see it. And it just goes to show how vigilant we must be. I ask that as we go in our lives, that we take this serious. This isn't a game. It's not something we get to do over. But it's an actual spiritual battle. We know the consequences in battle is life or death. It's not just we lose and it's the end. It's we lose and we die. And in this case, it's not a death as in it's over. It's a death as in we're separated from God and from His glory. I ask that we keep our eye on the prize, as Paul writes, and that we focus on heaven and what there is up, what is there for us to gain, and not on this earth and the worldly lusts and pleasures and the temptations that we face here. And I ask that we will take the full armor of God and to equip it, and that we will be more active in prayer, and that we will pray more for one another, not just for physical ailments or physical safety, but also for spiritual safety. I think that's more important than physical safety. And these were just lessons that I had learned from camp that I really wanted to share with you. Thank you.
When Jesus comes to reward His servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to Him will He find us watching, waiting with the lamps of Him bright. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will He find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? If at the dawn of the early morning He shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talents, will He answer thee, well done? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's ride home? Say, will He find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? Blessed are those who the Lord finds watching, in His glory they shall share. If He shall come at the dawn or midnight, will He find us watching there? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will He find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord